Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call today. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Jayanand Gauranga Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 22nd Chapter, 29th Verse onward. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic. I'll hand out the call to you Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalagayam Chaksharum Meenlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapatamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Upashyatyadi Chatarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrandam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Verse 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityaham Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikim. Translation and purport by A.C. Sri Ram Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada ki Jai. Nimitte sati sarvatra jaladavapi purushaham atmanakshcha parasyabhi vidham pasyati nanyadam. Translation. Only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others. Just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested on water, on oil, or in a mirror. Purport. The spirit soul is one, the supreme personality of Godhead. He is manifested in Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha expansions. The Jivas are Vibhinnamsha expansions. The different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are Swamsha expansions. Thus there are different potencies of the Supreme Lord and there are different expansions of the different potencies. In this way, for different reasons, there are different expansions of the same one principle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is real knowledge, but when the living entity is covered by the upadhi or designated body, he sees differences exactly as one sees differences in the reflection of oneself on water, on oil, or in a mirror. When something is reflected on the water, it appears to be moving. When it is reflected on ice, it appears fixed. When it's reflected on oil, it appears hazy. The subject is one, but under different conditions, it appears differently. When the qualifying factor is taken away, the whole appears to be one. In other words, when one comes to the Paramahamsa or perfectional stage of life, by practicing Bhakti Yoga, he sees only Krishna everywhere. For him, there is no other objective. In conclusion, due to different causes, the living entity is visible in different forms as an animal, human being, demigod, tree, etc. Actually, every living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 5.18, therefore it is explained that one who actually sees the spirit soul does not distinguish between a learned brahmana and a dog, an elephant or a cow, panditha samadarshanaha. One who is actually learned sees only the living entity, not the outward covering. Differentiation is therefore the result of different karma or fruitive activities. And when we stop fruitive activities, turning them into acts of devotion, we can understand that we are not different from anyone else, regardless of the form. This is only possible in Krishna consciousness. In this movement, there are many different races of men from all parts of the world participating. But because they think of themselves as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not differentiate between black and white, yellow and red. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the only means to make the living entities free of all designations. Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Buddhaya Srimate Jaya Padaka Swamte Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaya Kripa Padaya Ningaura Kata Dhamdaya Nakaragram Thari Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamte Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunya Vali Pasha Tharani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanta Vitagadadar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktaruta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare वांछाकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपासन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. So there are four learning objectives that we will cover today as part of this purport. The first one is to be able to explain the misidentification with the body. The second learning objective for this morning is to explain the concepts of Vibhinnamsha and Swamsha. The third concept that we'll be able to explain at the end is to explain the purificatory process. And the last learning objective is to explain Achintya Bheda Bheda concept with reference to this verse. So we'll start with the first part of this translation and purport, which deals with misidentification with the body. There is a verse which is comparable in the Bhagavad Gita to this verse in the Bhagavatam, and that is where it is said, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavanma Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. So after many lifetimes, when one is an actual knowledge, at that time one may surrender to Krishna. So this false identification with the body is the premise in which the Bhagavad Gita itself starts. देहिनो यस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यवनं जरा तथा देहांतरं प्राप्स्ति धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति. So that means that when we look at the body, then we get to see the problems that is associated with it. But the symptoms of a self-realized soul is that such a self-realized person is not illusioned by the false identification with the body. The self-realized person understands that he has nothing to do with the body and realizes the person's identity in relation to Krishna. So therefore, in general, we always hear that we should not get very concerned about the difficulties, our difficulties, as they are not really our difficulties and they are to do with our body. And a person with a firm intelligence, there's someone who is firmly fixated, and it's called a person with the sthira buddhi, they understand that their duty is to fulfill Krishna's desire. That means that there is an identity problem that we have here, and this identity problem is the first subject matter of this purport. The identity of the soul remains covered in the conditioned state. And why the identity remains covered in the conditioned state is something we will see subsequently in this discussion. The second aspect that we will speak about today is about the concepts of Vibhinnamsha and Swamsha. Vibhinnamsha basically means that we are a separated part and parcel of the personality of Godhead. So it means that we are of the same nature, but the originator of the self is the master. So from a Mayavada perspective, it may be said, if my soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, then where is my existence? That's something that is frequently said, but the first step in God realization is to understand that there is an expansion of the Lord as Paramatma, and we are fragmented parts and parcel. So this is a central tenet in our philosophy, that we are separated part and parcel. So the Lord in his different incarnations he's called as Swamsha. But the Paramatma, where the Lord is present everywhere in the form of Paramatma, is also Swamsha. But the Jivas do not belong to this category. They are the marginal potency, and they are the separated parts and parcel, and they're called Vibhinnamsha. So if we see the Vibhinnamsha is just if you see the definition of that in Sanskrit, so it comes from Vishishta Rupena Bhinna Iti Vibhinni Vibhinna. So Vishishta Rupena Bhinna Iti. So that's basically the definition of the word Vibhinnamsha. Vishishta Rupena. And why Vishabhinna means they are separated. Okay, they are separated. And it is the qualified personality here. So Vishishta Rupena, the separate, and that is Bhinna Iti. And how does it happen? For there are two specific causes why we are eternally separated. Vibhinna. Why we are eternally separated, there are two causes. And what are the two causes? And it is called Icha is one cause. The second cause is called Dvesha. Icha basically means that we have a separate desire to lord it over. That means that we aspire to enjoy on our own is the real cause of our separation. So this is the first cause. The first cause is called Icha, which basically means a desire. But that desire is a separate desire to lord it over. and aspire to enjoy on our own. And this is one cause. The second cause is called dvesha, which is the element of hate, and that is basically to disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the jiva, or the individual soul, the vibhinnamsa, the jiva wants to enjoy separately from the Lord, forgetting the supremacy of the Lord. So that is, the jiva, being the marginal potency, can either be under the control of the internal energy or under the control of the external energy. So, and that here is the cause. And when the jiva desires to enjoy separately from the Lord and wants to forget the supremacy of the Lord, Krishna himself gives the forgetfulness to that individual soul. And that is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that in chapter 15, he himself gives that forgetfulness. So the individual Amsha thinks of himself as separate from Krishna, from the Lord, and Krishna fulfills that desire. This forgetfulness, in fact, actually comes from the Supreme, that is the Hetu, the cause, even though we can say it is Icha, Dvesh, everything, but the Hetu itself comes from Krishna, because he fulfills the desire of the individual soul, and the forgetfulness comes from the Supreme and from the subtle nature, and it gets transferred into the gross nature. And it results in so many differentiations. And how do we see that there are, how do we try to understand that there are so many differentiations? It's simple, because the underlying cause is the three modes of material nature. Because the three modes of material nature, what are the three modes of material nature? Is the mode of goodness, sattva, mode of passion, which is rajas, mode of ignorance, the tamas. So these modes of material nature, they act differently, and they produce so many permutations when they act in different quantities. For example, you have, take a little of the mode of goodness, more of the mode of passion, little of the mode of ignorance. And then you take in another situation, more of mode of goodness, little of mode of passion, more of mode of ignorance. In this way, if you take so many permutations of these modes in different quantities, then it gives different visions. So all these modes, even though we say that the different modes, when taken in different combinations and different quantities, give so many visions, so that is what is mentioned in this verse, that when you see the same object through oil, through glass, through that, through water, whatever way you see different visions, that is because of the different permutations of the modes of material nature, which gets expressed in different quantities. So, but still, the hetu, what is the cause of all the ways of actions of these different modes of material nature? And that is Krishna himself, because Krishna says that hetu nanena kaunteya. Krishna himself is the cause, and Krishna provides the forgetfulness. So, and the fact that the modes of material nature are under the control of Krishna, and that we are under the stringent grips of the modes of material nature, as long as we are under the control of the internal energy, is very clear, because Krishna says, Devi esa gunamayi, mamamaya turatyaya, the modes of material nature are under his control, under Krishna's control. Mamamaya turatyaya, but it is so difficult, it is just impossible to cross the ocean of material existence. Samsara sindhu tarane hridayam vyadishat. This is so difficult to cross the ocean of material existence and to be able to win over get over from the stringent grips of material nature. Devi esa gunamayi mama maya duratyaya maameve prapadyante mayame tam tarantiti. But if one is able to surrender unto the personality of Godhead Krishna, then he is able to cross over the ocean of material existence and get himself freed from the stringent grips of the modes of material nature. So that means that even if someone follows in the path of Kevala Dvaita, purely thinking only that all there exists is the individual soul and nothing beyond, and wants to be under the concept of the Brahman realization, even for such a person for whom the faith in Krishna does not develop, and they undergo severe austerity to come to this platform of Brahma-Bhuta Prasannatma, even to come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, they undergo severe austerity. Even for that person, it is Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, provides that liberation, and that person attains the Sayujya Mukti of merging into the effulgence of Krishna, Hiranmayena Bhatrena Satyaspagitam Mukham, the effulgence around the personality of Krishna or the Brahma Jyoti. Even to attain that Sayujya Mukti, it is not possible without the mercy of Krishna. Because this verse says that unless one surrenders into the personality of Godhead, Devi hi esa gunamayi mama maya duratyaya, it is not possible to cross the ocean of material existence or to free oneself from the stringent grips of the modes of the maya. So Prabhupada says that we need to have the real vision that needs to be cultivated, and that means, he says in a lecture, that we pluck our eyes and put the new eyes in, and that is the spiritual eyes with which we need to focus, and then we will be able to see what our real position is. Our real position is a very, very low position, vidya vinaya sampanne. So that means that we need to be endowed with the qualities of, the main quality that is here is humility. Vidya vinaya sampanne. So the humility is, when we understand that, then we understand our true position in relation with Krishna. Trinadapi sunichena tharorapi sahishana. So we need to understand our true position and develop this humility. So the basic principle here is we become envious of the Lord because of the two causes, one is Icha and Tvesh, and that has given us this vision by which we make this differentiation. The Paramatma feature, however, we need to understand is the same in all living entities. And we need to be able to see that feature in all the living entities. So that feature is constant. The Paramatma feature is constant. And when we speak with anyone, when we talk to anyone, we need to be able to see that Paramatma feature. And that is the a swamsha expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but people are still differentiating due to the different modes. So, the Paramatma feature is the only identity which is there everywhere. It doesn't mean that it is only Paramatma is there only in living entities. Paramatma is there everywhere, even in Jada, even in matter, whether it's in Jiva. The Paramatma as Krishna, as the Paramatma feature, is there everywhere. And that is the reason why the electrons are moving, or why there is movement of electrons in solids, in different atoms, liquids, gases. Why there is movement? Because the Paramatma, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha, that Krishna is there everywhere in the form of Paramatma. And that is the reason why there is any kind of symptom of movement even in jada, in matter. So that is the second learning objective in this purport. The third one is, okay, now we understand here like why we are under the stringent grips of material nature and that being the cause of we differentiating and under the grips of the material nature. But then what is the purificatory process and how do we get out of this? So that is the third concept that we'll discuss today. The purificatory process, all it means that the consciousness needs to be purified. It means that we need to add the knowledge that we are servants of Krishna. We have many desires that are not conducive. And therefore, it is very simple. The way of purificatory process is very simple in one sense, because all we need to do is chant the names of Krishna. So are we arbitrarily just saying this? Okay, so we are in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, so are we arbitrarily saying, okay, we need to chant the names of Krishna and that is the purificatory process? It's not something that is coming random. Because Jiva Goswami, when he says, when we read a scripture, how do we know, how can we understand, he says this in his very first treatise, called the Tattva Sandarbha, how do we understand what a scripture says? And he also says this in many occasions, I've seen that in the Bhagavad Sandarbha too. How do we understand what a scripture says? We need to see what the author of the book says at the beginning, what the author says at the end, and what the author repeatedly keeps saying again and again. Then we understand what the central message of the author is, so that we don't have to come up with some kind of interpretation of what the author is trying to say. So here the scripture is the Bhagavatam and the author is sage Vedavyasa, and Vyasa himself is an expansion of Vishnu in this cycle. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya, Vyasa Rupaya Vishnave. So he is an expansion of Vishnu himself. And so sage Vedavyasa, if you see the very last verse of the Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, the very last chapter, the very last verse, what does he say there? He says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanaha Tam Namami Harim Param. So the very last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Krishna Sankirtan, about Nama Sankirtan. So that is the purificatory process. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. All the sinful reactions, any kind of papa or sin, Pranamo Dukkha Shamanaha Tam Namami Harim Param. So Krishna Nama Sankirtana is the purificatory process for us to get out of the clutches of the material, the stringent grips of material nature. So we need to simply chant the names of Krishna. And in addition, you know, the basic purpose here is to please Krishna. And we can do that by so many means. Anyone who helps others understand Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased. But when we try to please Krishna out of fear, out of anxiety, out of lust, in all these ways, Krishna does not fully reveal himself. But when we do that out of love, Krishna reveals himself. So when we spoke about why we are under the stringent grips of material nature, we spoke about the cause, that is, one is Icha and one is Dvesh. But that we are covered under the three modes of material nature. A simple way of saying that is the word called attachment. That attachment needs to get purified, and that is a purificatory process. So there was a family, and they were trying to getting on a boat, and they needed to cross the river and to go to the other side of the river. And on the other side, they were going to attend some wedding the next day. So at night, when they got onto the boat, and then they were rowing the boat. All night they kept rowing the boat, and they had to go to the other side of the river. But in the morning, when the sun came, they saw that the boat never moved. It was just staying in the same place. And then they found out what was the reason for that. The reason for that was because the boat was anchored, and because the boat was anchored, the boat never moved. In the same way, many of us, when we see that we are not making progress in Krishna consciousness, it's because we are anchored by the ropes of attachment. And when we cut the ropes of attachment, then the boat moves and we are able to move across the river and move to the other side, which is the spiritual world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. And what is the purificatory process here? Param Vrayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Chanting the holy names of Krishna is a purificatory process. So the last concept which we will discuss this morning is the concept of Achintya Bheda Bheda, which is very evident in this translation and especially in the purport. So, how this verse explains and fits within the premise of Achintya Bheda Abheda? So, we can see that everywhere in the scripture, you take any verse anywhere, whether it's the Vedanta Sutra, whether it is the Upanishads, whether it is the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, any scripture is taken. The Achintya Bheda Bheda is evident, and it is the most clear way of understanding without any interpretation. And how is that? There are verses that explain Bheda, that there are verses that are focused on the Abheda aspect. But the phrase Achintya Bheda Abheda first clearly in a single way, it comes in one of the expositions of Jiva Goswami, where he says, Sva Mate Tu Achintya Bheda Bheda. So this comes, Jiva Goswami himself wrote commentary in between his one of his treatises called as Krishna Sandarbha, and in there he wrote commentary himself, some kind of a tika which is called as Sarva Sambhadini. And there in that Sarva Sambhadini, he says Sva Mate Tu Achintya Bheda Bheda. So the central message given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there in the philosophical form in the work of Jiva Goswami. And this Achintya Bheda Bheda comes first there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself clearly explains that in many, many places when he talks to different associates. For example, when he was talking with Vasudeva Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri, at that time he gives an exposition of this verse, Atmarama Muneyo. So Atmarama is a self-realized soul. So a self-realized soul, a muni, even such a self-realized soul, if somebody is already self-realized, what does it mean? That they really don't need anything because they are self-satisfied. They are They don't seem to be under the clutches. They're not having any desires. They are already in the platform of Brahma Bhuta, Prasannatma. So they are content and everything. But why is such a self-realized soul, when they look at Atmarama, Munayo, Muni, Nirgrantapi, Urukrame, when Urukrama means very attractive, when such an Atmarama, a self-realized soul, when he looks at the most attractive Hari, Urukrame, so why is such a self-realized soul being attracted to Krishna? And the speaker of this verse that we are discussing today, the Bhagavad and the Kumaras, they themselves are an example of this. Atmarama, they were self-realized, but somehow they got attracted to the personality of Krishna. And why is that? And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking. And through this verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In the same way, even Sukadeva Swami, he was self-realized. He didn't know anything about the external features. But then when he hears the Bhagavatam from his father, then he immediately gets attracted to the personality of Godhead Krishna. So that means that self-realization cannot be the end step, because these self-realized souls, they are able to see an attraction towards something beyond, and that is Hari. Urukrama Hari, that's what is there in this word, Atmarama Muni. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again says that in another occasion when he speaks in the Bindu Madhava temple in Varanasi, when he dances, and then Prabodhananda Saraswati comes there, and at that time he again speaks similar verses, and then he also speaks to, in different occasions, he speaks the same subject matter. And Jiva Goswami again cites this in, as Achintya Kalo Ye Bhava. So this concept of Bheda and Abheda. So in this verse, the verse talks about the Abheda aspect. And the purport talks about the Abheda aspect here, where we don't see the differentiation among that we are seeing here. But that is, that concept is Achintya. That means that it's inconceivable, which is contrary to what can be said as Swabhavika, which is a natural, the Bheda and Abheda, if they are construed as to get along with each other well, that is called Swabhavika, that was proposed by Nimbarkacharya in what is called as Dvaita Dvaita. It is basically Bheda Bheda, but it is not Achintya there. But that is found very contradictory. And so in many places, even Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya find just the Bheda, Bheda Bheda being a naturally possible as Swabhavika, as not tenable. And therefore, Jiva Goswami is very clear that this is Achintya Abheda. And he further propounds this and explains this in the Bhagavad Sandarbha in chapter 16 and 42. But what we need to understand here is that even though the Kumaras, they are saying here that in a conditioned state, we are seeing the living entities in through a different vision, that is through water, through oil, through a mirror, we are seeing, but they are still the same. But we need to understand that they are still speaking about all this under a conditioned state in the material platform. But that does not mean that there is no variegatedness in the spiritual platform, and because that is confirmed by Maitreya Muni when he describes about the Vaikuntha planetary systems in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. If you see, I think it's chapter 15, around verse 16, 17, 18, around those verses, we see the description of the Vaikuntha planetary system, how there are trees, how there are mountains, how there are rivers, all in the Vaikuntha planetary system. So we need to see the difference between that verse 3.15.16, 17, 18 versus this verse where the Kumaras are talking about that we not to be differentiating in, but here the Kumaras are talking and in the under the control of the material energy, they are talking about. Whereas Maitreya Muni, in 3rd canto, 15th chapter of the Bhagavatam, there he's talking about the variegatedness in the spiritual platform. That means that the variegatedness in the spiritual platform exists eternally. And the reason why we are seeing the variegatedness in the material platform is because the variegatedness here is a perverted reflection of what is seen in the spiritual platform. That means that the variegatedness in the spiritual platform exists eternally, and that variegatedness is reflected imperfectly or in a perverted fashion in the material platform. And so we are seeing that reflection here, and that is what the Kumaras are talking about here. So when Prabhupada says here that the spirit soul is one, he's talking about that Abheda aspect, that Krishna, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that all there is Krishna, but that Supreme Personality of Godhead exists, he expands and exists in a variegated, there is a variegated fashion. And for example, if you take the, and all that means is that every living entity in the spiritual platform is conscious, and they all are singing the praises of Krishna. So it basically means in the material, under the material energy, when someone is talking, they really want to hear their voice because they take pleasure in hearing their voice. But in the spiritual world, they all are taking the pleasure in Krishna's name. So there comes the a distinction between this verse, which the Kumaras are speaking, and the verse which Maitreya Muni is using in the 3rd canto of 15th chapter of the Bhagavatam, where he describes about the variegatedness of the spiritual world. And so these are both these verses, when taken into context, beautifully explain us how wonderful is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda, and how nicely it has been propounded by our Sampradaya Acharyas, and it has been repeatedly propounded when we take the work of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, when we take the work of the Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and we see that beautifully explained in our parampara. And Prabhupada wonderfully explains this in this purport, and he so nicely takes this aspect of Amsha, and the which is as separated parts and parcel, explains about this translation from of this verse from the Kumara. So I'm going to, it's going to be 7:10 now. I'm going to stop there, and I'm just going to, maybe we can see if there are any discussion points and if anybody else wants to contribute more to what we just discussed. Thank you so much. Manchakalpatarabhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. This was a very, very excellent, very well presented class. Thank you so much for being so clear and explaining all these difficult concepts very beautifully. Thank you, Prabhuji. No questions, but it was very nice to hear this class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Yeah, very systematic presentation, Prabhuji, and like easy to understand. Prabhuji, I have two questions, Prabhu. So, in the translation it says, only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others. So what do you mean by exactly by causes here, Prabhu? And we should see difference, right, Prabhu, between every person is an individual and is different from one another.
So, Prabhu, when we discussed this, we said that we spoke about this causes actually in pretty much a lot of detail. So, we see a simple way of seeing the cause here is called as Ichha Dvesh, we said. So, one is to see our desire to lord it over, which is Ichha, and Dvesh, which is the envy. The envy part of the Supreme. So the very fact that we are in this material world is because we are envious of Krishna. And so, and in a broader perspective, we see that the hetu here is that we are, the cause is that we are under the stringent grips of material nature. And the material nature itself is under the cause of and is under the control of Krishna. So we spoke about how Krishna himself gives us the forgetfulness, which leads us to be under the control of the material nature, and that is the cause. And as far as and once we are under the control of the material nature, so we are conditioned being attached to this material world, because that's what we desire. We are desiring to lord it over separately from Krishna, and that is the cause for us to be under the grips of material nature, and so we see the differences. So when it is said the differences between oneself and others, so what it is basically being referred to here is the nature of the spirit. That is, which is because everybody is the soul, whether Krishna as the cause of all causes, as from whom everything emanates, and himself is the nature of spirit, Sat, Chit, Ananda. So nature of spirit. So when we are not able to see the bodily designations under the material platform, and when we are able to see everybody in the platform of Brahma, that is as spirit, then that is what is referred to here. And so that means that we will be able to see everybody in the spiritual platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Natochati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu. The same thing. This translation is basically the same verse which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Samasarveshu Bhuteshu. We're able to see all the living entities in an equal Brahma. Sarveshu Bhuteshu. So it's pretty much the same thing. So when we see, but what is not said in this verse here is about the quantitative differences, because you know, as we know, the different verses in the scriptures, they speak about abheda, they speak about bheda. So here, even though we are not talking here about the quantitative differences, and but it does talk about the qualitative oneness, and so our philosophy, it's not like every aspect is just talking only about the bheda, because if it was only about the bheda, where is the relationship between the individual living entity and the Krishna? Because then it will just perfectly just align with Madhvacharya's proposition of Tattvavada, and it will be just, all there will be is just bheda. But we are clear that what we have here is achintya bheda abheda. So there is abheda, and that abheda is actually the medium by which we can have an interaction with Krishna, because both are of the same nature, which is spirit. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samasarvesha Bhuteshu. So we are able to see all living entities on an equal platform. So but this again, even though it is said here that one needs to see all the living entities in the same as spirit soul, it doesn't mean that just because it is all the living entities on spirit soul, that doesn't mean that there is no variegatedness in the spiritual world. Again, I'm just saying the same thing, that the spiritual world, there is variegatedness. There are rivers, there are mountains, but they are all made of spirit, and hence there is variegatedness. So even though this verse is focusing on one aspect, we shouldn't forget the other aspect, and that's why I cited the other verse which Maitreya Muni said in 3rd canto, 15th chapter of the Bhagavad. Them. So, does it answer the question, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Perfect, Prabhu. Yeah. Because I was losing the context, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is there any other discussion point?
Yes, Prabhu.
Oh,
yes, Mataji.
Go ahead. I think Prabhu didn't finish. Maybe he has something else.
Yeah, you go ahead, Mataji. If there is time at the end, I will ask one more question, Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji.
Okay. There is this word separate that always creates a little bit of doubt for me. That, as you said earlier in your class, you know, the jivas are Krishna's separated parts and parcels. This word separated always creates doubt for me because we do know that Krishna encompasses everything in existence. So there is nothing that can exist separately or independently of him. So when we say that the jivas are Krishna's separated parts and parcels, what do we mean by separated?
Okay, that is a very nice question, but I'll try to answer a little here in the interest of time. But that is the central tenet of our philosophy in Achintya Bheda Bheda. Because of this, the word separated. So the jiva, the individual soul, is the marginal potency, or called tatastha shakti. That is basically the central tenet of the philosophy here is that Krishna is a energetic and we are this energy. And that energy can, we have an internal energy, we have a marginal energy, and we have an external energy. And that marginal energy can be under the control of the internal or in the control of the external energy. So this living entity, when it is, they are eternally separated because the energy, even if it is of the same nature as that of Krishna, which is Sat, Chit, and Anandam, it is separated. And that separated nature only allows that living entity to come under the control of internal or the external energy, where lies the concept of the limited free will. And therefore, if we were not separated, there won't come that concept of free will where we can be under the control of external or the internal energy. And that forms a central tenet of our philosophy, where even though there are so many similarities between the different Vaishnava sampradayas, but there are also subtle differences. And for example, I'm just getting a little philosophical here because of the nature of the question here, that the previous question that was asked by the previous was to do with Dvaita, which is of Madhvacharya's Tattvavada. But this question which Mataji just asked just tells us what is the difference between our sampradaya and in the philosophy of Ramanujacharya, which is called as Vishishta Dvaita. In Vishishta Dvaita of Ramanujacharya, it is exactly what Mataji just said, that everything is structurally comprised within Krishna or Narayana. So that means that whether it is the living entity, the soul, or whether it is matter, they are all structural parts and parcel. They are structurally integral part and parcel of the absolute truth, which is Krishna or Narayana. But in our case, that's where we distinctly differ by saying separated part and parcel, because there an argument is being given in our Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, that if we are not separated, how could there be a transformation? That is, for example, there are two kinds of transformation. One is called as Brahma Parinamavada. Parinamavada means a transformation. And the other is called as Shakti Parinamavada, means transformation of the energy. So what we are saying here is that the energy of Krishna can be transformed, but the energetic as such is not transformed. The energetic Krishna expands, but the energy transforms. So that is the prime distinction we have here between ours and Vishishta Dvaita, propounded by Ramanujacharya. So we say that it will be contradicting many principles of what Vedavyasa is saying if we talk about as though the Brahman itself is getting transformed, but what we're actually talking about here is called as the transformation of the energy of the personality of Godhead. And thus, that is why we are using the word separated, part and parcel. And in fact, this verse actually also comes, the separated part, the part and parcel, is a standard verse which comes even in the Bhagavad Gita, where the word vipinna is there exactly in the Bhagavad Gita, I think in the 7th chapter, where Krishna clearly says that we are separated part and parcel. But without the word separated part and parcel, we will, as good as, we will be saying that as though the absolute truth itself has transformed and is being expanded in the form of material energy and in the form of marginal energy. But if we don't use the word separated, there will be many, many problems with several verses being proposed, being said by Sage Vedavyasa. Does it answer the question, Mataji? I know it's getting a little philosophical, but that's just the nature of the question that you just...
Well, no, I mean, I'm philosophical by nature, so it's not a problem. But I do have a... I wasn't actually following you so well towards the end. When you brought in these words, there's two categories, transformation... what was the other one that also involved the word transformation?
There were two kinds of the word parinama vada is just a translation for the word transformation, and there are two kinds of transformation. One is the transformation of the spirit, which is called as Brahma parinama vada, and the other is the transformation of the energy, which is called as Shakti. Shakti parinama vada, Shakti is energy. So our philosophy is about Shakti, transformation of energy, that energy can be transformed from one form to the other. But we don't say that the spirit itself, the Brahman itself, the absolute truth itself can be transformed. So that would just mean that as though the spirit itself is mutable. The spirit is immutable, and that is the central tenet. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 2nd chapter, Krishna himself says that soul is not; it is immutable. So so that means that we do need to understand that we are separated parts and parcel. Otherwise, it means that we even the material nature, like everything, they're all separated, because unless if we don't have the separation, that would mean that the absolute truth itself is transformed, which it's not. Does that, is that, am I being clear there, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I think Mataji lost the connection. I don't know.
Okay. And was there another question? There was one question that Prabhuji was asking.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yeah, the machine said that the host had muted my line and it couldn't be unmuted, so I had to call you from a different line.
Okay, sorry.
When I think you were saying that, you know, the absolute truth, of course, cannot be transformed, but were you saying that the energy, meaning the jivas, can be?
That is the Shakti. That is basic. It's just the energy, which is, that's the reason that is called as Shakti Parinamavada. So that means that the energy is, it's commonly when we say when energy is transformed from one form to the another, even in material subjects and physics and so on, we say that, you know, that's basically like the, in the material realm, when we say that's basically the first law of thermodynamics, you know, so in the same way, in it's basically coming from this spiritual concept where the energy can be transformed. So,
I guess the jiva can be transformed, because we always hear second chapter of Gita that we are not transformable or mutable or changeable in any way. So, what does it mean to say that the jivas can be transformed?
It's not the concept of the spirit soul. Mataji. The spirit soul is not immutable. It's not mutable. It's not. It cannot. That's not something. So that is the spirit soul is Brahman. That's not what we are talking about here, right? Because the spirit soul is Brahman, but then the it is the energy, the energy that is transformed. So basically, what we are when we talk, we have a material energy, we have and so when we see the transformations here in the material energy, that's all, it's the transformation because of which that is, that we are able to see that. In the same way, we are, when we talk about energy here, we are talking about that we are as a marginal energy. That means that we come either under the control of the material energy, or we are under the control of the internal energy. So we are not saying here that the individual soul can be transformed, but that is as that is the opposite. That is nothing but Brahma Parinamavada. We don't. We are not. We are saying that that is not something that is possible. But what is possible? What is there is the transformation of the energy because of which.
This is the term that I'm having trouble with. When you say transformation of energy, what energy, and what do you mean by this?
Okay, so like for instance, when we see the material world, for instance, so all what we are seeing here is because of transformations. The transformation, the energy of the Lord is transformed, and that is why we are having this kind of a vision. So when we see...
the energy of the Lord is transformed from what to what? You know, transform means, to me, it means change. It was in one state, and now it's in another.
That's the whole creation process. So that's the entire subject matter of like the second canto in the Bhagavatam. So the whole creation process and in fact that's the this, you can see that there is also coming from this verse also talks about that, that about all our external designations, the way we are seeing that is all because of how the external energy manifests in front of our material eyes. But then this verse is saying exactly that we need, if we get over that designation, then we will be able to see in true light how we'll be able to see the spiritual world and the variegatedness in the spiritual world. And so the transformation basically refers to the creation, the creation, and how we are seeing all these different designations. All that is because of Shakti Parinamavada.
Okay. So,
is that?
So transformation refers to the manifestation of this creation, this material world.
To our, yes. And when we see, when we start seeing that with the proper light, with the spiritual eyes, then we will be able to see the spiritual world, the variegatedness in the spiritual world, and how every thing is actually dovetailed in service of Krishna. So as long as we have the material eyes, we will be able to see all these. So that means that all these transformations, they are, when our perception of this world is illusory, but there is a real picture of this world, and that is of all the of all what we're seeing, and that is all connected with Krishna, and so that is the real perspective. When we see everything through the material designations, we are seeing this. We are seeing the world the way we are seeing right now. But when we see it through the spiritual eyes, then so what we are seeing through material eyes is all because of that transformation. And otherwise, we won't. There is no earth. There is no universe. There is no all these things. All are coming because of transformation. And that's what Prabhupada is saying. There are two kinds of these. As far as the living entities is concerned, there are two kinds. One is the Vibhinnamsha and one is the Swamsha, which is the Swamsha is
the Lord.
The Lord himself. Yes.
Okay, so can you just link for me now all this talk about transformation? How did that relate to this word separate?
you know, the fact, I was trying to understand the word separate in relationship to the jiva, you know, when, because you were saying, I think in the Sri Sampradaya, mm-hmm. structurally everything is part of
yes.
Krishna.
Yes.
Including
yes.
us jivas.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And so, and that, and then you brought in this discussion about transformation. And so I
yes.
lost that connection.
Okay, so the argument there is, you know, even though there are so many similarities between Vishishtadvaita, which is qualified non-dualism, and ours, there are also some subtle differences here and there. But when we go deep in, we'll see that there are actually very few. They're, you know, it's pretty, they're all so close together. But then, so if you want to look at Vishishtadvaita, the way you need to look at it is like, for example, if you take if you look at all the material universes, everything, if you put them all as the body of the Lord, okay, so they're all structurally part of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that, okay, so even though they say as Narayana, okay, so and the form of Narayana or Krishna, they're all structural parts. So that means that I may be a soul in the toe of Krishna and you may be a soul found in the hand of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that they're all part, structurally, integrally part
mm-hmm.
of one unit.
Yes.
But that distinctly differs from what we say here as a vibhinna, that we are separated energies. Separated energies, and our relation here is a Shakti and Shaktiman, energy and energetic. Whereas even material nature, like for example, if you take a table and every living entity, they're all part of that one body in Vishishtadvaita. And that's where we are saying, even though those kind of analogies are also there in the Bhagavad Gita, there, those kind of analogies are also there because it says in the Bhagavad Gita that we're all like pearls strung around a necklace, those kind of analogies. But it adds on by saying that we are separated parts and parcels. So that we are, and that explains why we can come under the grips of material nature. Without that separated, that coming, why will some part of Krishna behave erratically like that? So that's where we are distinguishing ourselves and from Vishishtadvaita. But otherwise, you know, there is so much of similarity between Ajinte Bhedaveda and entire, I'm talking more not in terms of the Sampradaya perspective, which is the theological perspective. Theological perspectives we do have, we have a way more refined theology here, because there is a lot more analysis which is being done in terms of differentiations between Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. There's a lot more different refinement in our Sampradaya. But I'm only talking about the metaphysical and the philosophical aspects here, and where we are saying that there cannot be transformations directly in the body of the Lord itself.
Okay, and I guess the achintya aspect is the fact
mm-hmm.
that although,
mm-hmm.
let's say, the jivas won't be found in his hand or in his toe, yet we are still part of him. That's what makes it achintya, isn't it?
The achintya part is the fact that we can and that's actually, that part is also it's just same in Vishishtadvaita, but that we are qualitatively similar to the Lord but quantitatively different. But even though it is easy to say that, but in what way are we different? And in terms of the quantity, but that combination is actually pretty inconceivable, because like when we say that we are the energy and the energy is dependent on the energetic, it is of the same nature as that of the energetic, that means that we are all there exists is only Krishna, because that's the first sentence of the purport here. But that is the abhira, but that doesn't mean that we are Krishna. And understanding that is actually inconceivable. It is because there is a subject matter which is called as nyaya or logic. And according to logic, it can be either this or that. But that is not a natural trait. It is not it is not possible for something to be different and the same with each other. And therefore, Jiva Goswami takes care of it by using the word achintya there, because the scriptures are naturally saying that. They are saying that there is bheda and there is abheda, but how to reconcile that? And that is achintya. And the fact that the word achintya is not used, you can find so many issues with how bheda and abheda can exist together. And so many philosophers in the past, before Jiva Goswami, like both Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they all rejected bheda bheda as a possible theory, possible explanation, even though it was so evident in every place in the scriptures. They rejected that bheda bheda because they were only talking about the swabhavika, or the natural bheda bheda, which is not which defies logic. So that's where the achintya comes from. So,
well, I mean, I still feel that achintya must also refer to the fact that, you know, although we are all part of the absolute truth, yet, as you were saying yourself earlier, you know, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we are not, the jivas are not part of Krishna's structure. We're not like an integral part of Krishna's structure, yet we are his part and parcel. And that's what seems achintya to me.
Yes. Yes, Mataji. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very,
Hare
very
Krishna,
beautiful, very in-depth philosophical presentation, Prabhuji. It's very nice to know about these details so that we know what our philosophy is, what our pradaya is. So, Prabhuji, can you how did you get this kind of in-depth knowledge? Did you do a study on your own, or any course, or under any guidance?
Mataji, I sort of got introduced in this way. I've been reading this for past 25 years, so it's not something that that I started doing only in the past few years. So when I first came to ISKCON, at that time it started only with the comparative analysis of the different sampradayas. So at that time there were many books that I read and comparisons between the different sampradayas. And so it's been more than around 25 years, Mataji. So and over the course of time, I read many cases and books to understand the intricacies in our intricacies in the sampradayas, and especially the works of Jiva Goswami, Mataji. So because the Sikh Sandarbha, there are some beautiful translation, I think, by Kushakrata Das, Kushakrata Prabhu, and many books they've given from the Kansas Rupa Anuga Vedic College, I think. So many of them, they were so many of these books are already there, and so about 10 years ago, I borrowed most of these books when I was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison from their libraries, and read most of these books at the time, Paramatma Sandarbha and this, and then compiled them, and right now I'm just I'm very happy that there is some occasion like this where I'm able to share at least a little bit of some of these things that I'm learning. And so I hope that answered a little of your question.
That's
your
wonderful.
Question.
Is your Karmi name Jayendran?
No, tell me again, Mataji, what's your question?
Sorry, I just wanted to place your looks like I know you already. Is by any chance your wife is Divya Priya?
No, Mataji. No.
I'm sorry. No. Yeah, but thank you so much, Prabhuji. And we have only very rare speakers who talk like this in depth. So we want you to come again and again and clarify it, and so that we can also learn these nuances about philosophy so that we can be fixed in and we know better what we are in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madhuri. Thank you for motivating.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, just to add on to the conversation and to the questions that were asked, when we talk about Shakti Parinamavad, we do talk about the transformation of the chit potency of the Lord, right? So when we talk that the chit potency of the Lord is transformed, we talk about this transformation in terms of both the material world as well as it is,
yeah.
When we say Mamaivamsha Jiva Loke, we also mean that we are a part and parcel of the, actually it is a transformation of the chit energy. So even we are also a transformation, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Then in
that transformation is what is Prabhupada saying here. We need to see that in terms of expansion. So
right.
Both as the Swamsha and as Vibhinnamsha, because it's basically the same spirit. It's the same spirit that is when the word transformation is used, but it is actually referring there as expansion. We are expanded as his own is the Swamsha. And ours as the Vibhinnamsha.
So basically, the chit potency both expands and it transforms into both the jiva and the material world.
Yes. Basically, Mother, you have the expansion part is. So there is in the beginning, you know, there's a simple way to see that is like in the big. If you say there is one, and then it expands, and then you can always also see it as, but it is still one. So the thing that there is one and many, and the many again can be construed as one. So that is the so when we say transformation here, it still means that. Because they're all spirit, it's basically an expansion and retaining one's. But all we are saying here is that we are still retaining the individual identities,
mm-hmm.
because the variegatedness is still there. So even if you take everything together as Krishna, but the variegatedness is still there. So everybody is still having their identity. So that is because if we just talk about just. That expansion where there is no individual identity and all there is just one mass, which mm-hmm. is a spirit mass, we would just be talking about the philosophy of Shankaracharya, where there is all there is just one whole undifferentiated unit. But as such, it is all, when we say transformation and expansion, all these words, all it means is that we are differentiated. We are differentiated. The spirit is differentiated into different forms. It will be differentiated as a mountain. It is differentiated as a river. It is differentiated so when you see an undifferentiated mass, Mataji, so when you see an undifferentiated mass, and then if that is all you're able to see, that is the vision of a Kevala Advaiti. But then as a Vaishnava, we are seeing that as a differentiated, and that another word for that is transformation. Like for instance, when you see a mountain, when you see a river, and it is all made of spirit. So how did the mountain come? The mountain is made of spirit. So that is, it is transformed. That undifferentiated mass is transformed as a spiritual mountain, is transformed as a spiritual river. So the river Yamuna is a spiritual river. So it is transformed as a spiritual river. But then you can also see the undifferentiated mass, which is the vision of a Kevala Dvaiti. So the other side is when you, like, you can see that even in like in a human body. For example, when first you have the embryo, so you first have an undifferentiated mass, and then it expands. So you can use the word transform, or, you know, it transforms into an eye, into a nose, into this, or you can say it expands, but basically it then differentiates. It's the same entity, but then it expands and differentiates, and then you get a whole body. So it is all, everything that we see in this material world is somewhere pervertedly reflected. The original concept is already there in the spiritual world. So any transformation that we see here is coming from the original things that are eternally existing in the spiritual world. Does that answer, Mataji?
Yes. So in that sense, I understand that part. And so therefore, when we talk, I don't know if I heard this correct, but when the discussion was going on about free will, I don't know.
What, Mataji? What discussion about what?
Free will of the
Jesus. Free will. Okay. Yes, Mataji. Yeah, free will. Yeah.
So in that, my understanding was that we are all parts and parcels of Krishna. We have, but his qualities are in minute, of course. But we have his qualities. Since he has this, he's Swarat, he's independent, we get this tiny aspect of free will. It's not that because we are differentiated parts and parcels that we are getting this free will, right?
No. Free will is there in every living entity because it's there is exactly as you said. Krishna, even though there is qualitative oneness, we have quantitative differences. So we are a small part and parcel of Krishna. So that element of free will is there, and that element of free will is something that can be used or misused. If we are using it properly, we will be under the control of the internal energy, and if we are misusing it, we will be under the control of the external energy, and we will be under the stringent grips of material nature if that free will is misused.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, makes sense. Thank you.
That's the basic definition of free will. That is that the basic definition of free will of the living entity is that they can, being marginal, they can be either under the control of external or the internal, and that is the use of free will. And by use of the free will, we are here in this material world right now, by misuse of the free will.
Yeah. So the independence part comes when you can either use it or you can misuse it. So that's how.
Yes. Yes, and we used it, and there are two, and we said during the discussion today, there are two ways of doing that by which we got separated. One is Icha, which is wish, and the other desire, and the other is Dvesha, which is envy. And we pretty much probably, we use the two. One is desire to lord it over independently of Krishna, and the second is Dvesha, being envious of the personality of Godhead. And we can see that, we are always, I'm not talking about all of I'm talking about the anyone in the material world. The very reason why we are in the material world is because of envy, and the people who are able to rescue us, they are called as the Vaishnavas, and those Vaishnavas are so merciful that they are able to they are here purely out of their love and affection. And as the Vaishnava Acharyas, they all can be in the spiritual world, but they are still in the spiritual world, but they are visible to our eyes to pull us out of that existence. So
yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Very nice. Thank you, Prabhu.
Is there any other? Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. It was really excellent. I have no questions, Prabhu. Just I want to ask if anybody have any questions. Please go ahead. Otherwise, we can end the call here. Nice question and answer, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. And thank you for coming on the call. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very excellent.
Thank you. Hare
Hare Krishna, Komadi, do you want to speak something?
Anybody have any questions? Thank you. nobody have any question, we can end the call here. Paying obeisances to the Prabhuji and to all the devotees. Vancha Kalpataru.
Vancha Kalpataru.
Vancha Kalpataru. Vancha Kalpataru. Vancha Look forward for your association again in the future, Prabhuji. It was so excellent. Please give us your regular association, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Pranam.